Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. The temperature's down a little bit. It's been in the 90s, as you know, all week. That's a lot better than 100 and 105.
I know. You say the temperature's down. I'm like, wow, that's still sad. It's still too hot
and
to be
down. School is started all over Texas.
Oh.
School is in session for grandparents, for parents. Everybody's delighted to get all these kids back in school, let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
I mean, summer is fun and vacation is fun, but it's just like, I can only take so much, go back to school, then let me have some peace and quiet.
That's right. It keeps them out of trouble.
Well,
you're not
yeah.
trying to figure out all day something for them to do.
Oh, yes.
And somebody said this week again, you know, when they were kids, you just sent them out, told them not to come back till dark.
Yeah.
And these kids now, if you said that, they wouldn't know what you're talking about.
You know.
They would question that.
Yes. They would think it's weird, you know? It's abnormal, you've lost your mind, and they'd probably have to Google to see what dark actually means.
That's like, right. And they, if they had to leave their iPad, they wouldn't know what to do.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
You know?
It's like, go out until dark. It's like, dark, when, what, but what time is that? It's when it's
yeah,
dark.
Yeah, I mean, what
but
do you
when?
Do till dark?
Yeah. You know? What do you do
they're
all day?
They're not going to go get any frogs at the creek.
No.
I think that's out.
Mm-mm.
They're not going to go down to the swimming hole.
No.
That's out.
No.
They're not going to ride horses.
No.
Which that would be a good idea, too. There's just a lot of things these city kids aren't prepared for.
No.
I'll bet that half the city kids have never seen a cow.
I'll bet you're right. You know?
I really believe I am.
They probably wouldn't know if it's a cow or a bull or what it is. They
wouldn't know if it's a steer.
No.
A cow. I mean, what it is.
No.
You know?
It's kind of sad, you know?
It is sad. Now, when you get to West Texas, the kids, they know rodeos. You know, we have a lot of rodeos in West Texas. But when you get to Middle Texas, you know, we've got cities now. We've got towns.
Yeah.
And those kids are not learning the fundamentals like they ought to.
No. You know, it's like, you know, at one point we would go outside, we would play, we would learn kind of like, you know, real life stuff from examples of real life. And now people, for the most part, watch some kind of video about it or some kind of, you know, virtual experience or watch it on a device or something, and they don't actually live it. They see it, but they don't live it. And so I know people that when they take a walk, they get out like their Xbox and they're in the living room.
Oh, my goodness.
I literally know people.
That's going too far.
It is.
And people need to walk. You know, you don't realize it till you get up in age. These people are not going to have any strength and energy if they're not walking now.
Oh, I know it.
And they need to walk every day, whether it hurts a little bit or not. Make your bones work out.
Yes, I'm thoroughly convinced that movement is the key to everything. Because my grandfather,
the key to longevity.
It is.
And you know, do you want to? You can live out your life one of two ways: sitting in a wheelchair, or being active and walking every day and doing things and be involved.
Yeah.
Being involved, I think, is the biggest thing. You've got to be involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go stay at my grandparents' house, and my grandfather would walk every morning. Because they had a whole bunch of land. And so he would go out and walk and you know, first thing in the morning when it was still like a little bit wet outside, he'd go for a walk. I'd go with him. And then we'd go in and then, you know, do whatever we do all day, like, you know, work on the truck or whatever, and then eat supper and then go out and walk again. And we'd be gone for an hour and a half, a long time.
See, I bet
yes.
he was a slim man.
Oh, yes.
I bet he was in great shape.
Oh, he was in fantastic shape. Yes. You know, and all that fresh air on top of it. Oh, boy.
Is he still alive?
No, he's been gone a long time. But
how long did he live?
He was like 85, I think. 80.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So he did good.
Oh, yeah.
And I know people that are driving their cars in these small towns, and they're 90 and 94 years old.
Yes.
Just buzzing around town.
Yeah.
Their minds are solid.
Yeah.
And you know, you can keep your mind solid if it's busy. If you're learning something every day, don't ever quit learning.
Oh, I know.
When you quit learning, you might as well just give it up.
Exactly. I've had relatives before that didn't really do a whole lot of anything to you know, they did nothing. And then they would just, like, they would forget things, and it was just, you know. I mean, then
their
other
mind
ones
was not active and wasn't busy.
Yeah, you got to exercise it like a muscle. And so
that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. So,
and you've got to give yourself tests all the time.
Oh, yes. Like,
okay. What? When did this happen? When did that happen? Can you give me the names? Give me the names.
Yeah.
And that's very good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Just to kind of give yourself a pop quiz, or, you know, even.
Yeah, you need a pop quiz every day.
You really do. I've heard even, you know, things like crossword puzzles and word puzzles
sure.
are great for your brain. And, you know, it's like, even back then when they did the puzzle, remember the crossword in the paper? They would you do all
right.
that.
And I sure do.
I mean, it kept your brain working. And so, you know, we don't do those things anymore. And now everything does something for us. So we don't have to.
We've got so modern.
I know.
Everything is done for us.
Yes.
Which it should not be.
No. Modern convenience is great. Don't get me wrong. I love technology and advancements and all that. But, ooh, we may have gone a little bit too far.
I think we have. Well, you know what I've noticed at the schools are way up there. You know, when my children went to school, and I'm sure yours too, when kids go to school, it was just maybe they had a little basketball, 10th, 11th, 12th grade. That was about it. Now then they have golf, they have tennis, they have basketball, they have volleyball, they have three bands, they have choir, they have dance. I mean, you can do anything in high school now.
Oh,
I mean, the choices are unlimited, and they even have engineering courses.
Do they really?
Start engineering courses, yes.
Oh, they didn't have that when I was a kid.
And if you're smart at all, you can be doing honor roll classes. You'll have all your high school out of the way time you finish 10th grade.
Yeah, and then the rest is just kind of like attendance.
That's right. Then you go into your college courses. You can take that first year of college right there.
Yeah, before you're even out of high school.
Yeah, if you're smart or want to be smart.
See, that's the thing. That's the difference. It's like, do you want to be smart, or do you want to let things do it for you? I mean, my word.
Well, if you want to be dumb all your life, just sit there and be a jock, you know, and play sports and never get involved. But if you're really, really smart, you know, you'll go for it. I know that this last year in Argyle, salutatorian and valedictorian, you know, I looked at them, I said, oh, my gosh. And then I read about them. And each one said that last year they gave up everything, sports, everything, to make sure they came out on top, and they did.
Really? So
yeah,
they were focused.
They were already real smart, but they were taking the highest level of everything. Anything, you know, was an honors deal, they were in it.
Oh, my word. I mean, I guess if you're that dedicated and you're that focused on it, you know, I guess it pays off. It's just we get distracted.
It is, and you'll be brilliant.
Yeah.
Just like the Miss Nexus pageant is just finished.
Oh, yeah.
And that girl is very, very smart. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she'll travel Texas for a year and do all these charitable things. And there was a lot of runners-up to Miss Texas, and all of them got scholarships. She got, I believe, $10,000, and the others all got less. But, you know, they've spent years and years getting to the Miss Texas pageant. I'm really impressed.
Yeah. I mean, that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of dedication and a lot of perseverance, too. You know, it's like most people.
And a
people
lot of money. Your parents
yeah.
I mean, they have to shell out so much money. I mean, there's no telling how many gowns you have to have, how many personal appearances you have to have. Your hair has to be done at all times. There's so many expenses. Unless a person's got quite a bit of money, I don't think they could even afford to go for this.
Oh, I know it.
You know?
I know it.
I mean, it's so expensive.
Yeah, you've got all the stuff, but then most of them, don't they take some kind of, like, lessons in something, whether it's music or speaking or, I don't know, it seems like
they take.
You
have to have something that you've specialized in that you're really, really good at.
Yeah, yeah. So they've got to learn all that, and that can be expensive just for those lessons and tutors and, you know, whatever else.
The lady that won, I believe she's going to be a doctor.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Which kind. But, I mean, her grade point was way on up there.
Yeah.
And they were going to finish her scholarship. And, you know, she is a great girl and has done so well. And a lot of people were from Dallas this time, by the way.
Oh, that's great.
The runners up, uh-huh.
Cool. You know, it's I guess when I was in high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I'd had no focus, and I just had to, like, I guess not bum around, but just explore different things until I found out something that I liked. So, you know,
sometimes
it takes.
I know a lot of boys do this. You know, they can't make up their mind. Girls are way ahead of boys at all times. You know, they're thinking
yes.
about the future. They're thinking about what they're going to do, you know. What kind of job they're going to get, what college, what's the best college to get in. And then they're thinking about who can I snare his eyes. I mean, girls have an ulterior motive about all this.
Yeah. And most of the time, they're not going to pick a husband that was bumming around forever.
No. They want somebody, they want a doctor, a physicist, you know, an accountant. They want somebody that's going somewhere.
Yeah.
Somebody that's going to impress them.
Yeah.
they don't want the old boy that's going to go home and milk cows.
See, now, that should be inspiration. They ought to teach that in school. So when you're,
I know. They should teach a lot of things. Animal husbandry is what it was called.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're going to be a rancher, you need to know everything about veterinarian things,
yeah.
About horses, everything else. But it depends, you know, what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of people who are, you know, they may not go and be a physicist or a sports, you know, star or, you know, anything, you know, big like that. They may be a rancher, but very successful at it. And that, you know, it's just like when you can do that, that's a different kind of success because you're on your own terms. You know, you're kind of, you're out, you're on the land, you're, you know, you're working, you're making a profit, you're making money, you're doing things to, you know, to better yourself and everybody else in the world. And, you know, it's just like everybody's idea of success is different. But boy, I tell you what, if they had pulled us when we were in like just getting into high school and told us, pull all the boys aside and said, look, the only way you're going to find yourself a good wife is if you're not a bum. So learn and be successful.
That's right. Learn, be successful. And you don't want to be a bum and you don't want to be in the bread lines.
Yeah.
You know, get off your butt and get it.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been motivation. That would have been all I needed to hear.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody cannot marry a rich girl.
No.
There's not that many of them in the world.
No. Most of the girls are looking to marry a rich guy, I would think.
That's right. Each one's after the other, and they don't know it. Wow.
Wow. We
have
just...
a lot of them took broadcasting.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our really good people on television. You know, they learned to be a broadcaster, do the news. They started out with the news. Then some of them became celebrities.
Yeah.
And then some of them, you know, stayed in their local television deals and never, you know, went up. But a lot of them went all the way up.
Yeah. A lot of them have gone to really great places and great markets and, you know, become really, you know, it's like most of them start at some small station and then they learn something and move on and it keeps going. You know, you move up a little bit, you move up a little bit more, move up a little bit more. And then finally, you know, you end up to wherever you wanted to be, whether it's all the way at the top or if you find a level in between that you're happy at. And it's like, hey, I like it here. So, I mean, it's just really everybody's own measure of success, I guess. So.
And there's so many things people can do that they couldn't have done 20 years ago.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
I hope everybody encourages these kids to get out and get the best education you can and really figure out what you want to be and what you can do and then go for it. And don't look back. Just go straight ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, even plan for, you know, careers that'll be around in a couple of years. Like when I was in high school, we didn't even have computers. We didn't even know.
You
none
had
of
to
this
do it
existed.
In your mind.
Yeah,
you
had to do it in your mind. So, you know, things can change in a heartbeat, but planning, and that's what we're all about as far as financial planning. And that's what this is.
That's
it's
right.
Your
it's
money.
The same thing.
Yes.
We're planning for everybody's future.
Mm-hmm.
We want the future to be bright and to have money. And if they don't have money, your future isn't going to be bright.
No, it's not.
So, I encourage everybody every day, do a conservative investing.
Yeah.
And talking about investing, now the government, is going to let people put non-liquid assets in their 401k.
What?
I'm telling you, I think it'll be a disaster. What? Because if you have something that has no market value and they let you put it in your 401k, if something goes wrong, you're going to lose big time.
Oh, my word. I didn't even hear that.
What?
Oh.
That's going to be a new deal.
Really?
I don't know why. I'm against it all the way. If you're going to buy something that's illiquid, don't put it in your 401k.
I mean, wouldn't that
it'll
have
bring,
like a...
It'll bring that thing right down.
Yeah, it would have the opposite effect, I think.
It will, because if it goes into free fall because there's no market for it, how are you going to get your money back?
Yeah, I mean, it's gone. You lose everything.
You could lose it all.
It's a giant...
Doing a stupid thing like that.
Wow.
What everybody needs to do is tell their employer, no, I don't think so. I want to leave mine like it is.
Well, that seems like it would be just like tying your entire financial future to an anchor and throwing it over.
It will be.
My word. I had no
because
idea.
It's all illiquid. And they said they're going to allow illiquid assets to be put in 401ks.
Is that a done deal or just something they're talking about?
Well, they're saying it hadn't went into law yet, but they're saying it will.
Oh.
I hope it doesn't.
Oh, my word.
I think you should have top-notch A1 investments in a 401k.
Yeah. I mean, my goodness. You don't want
to... I don't think you should be taking the risk. It's your livelihood.
It is.
Why take the risk on something that has no market value? And they say they're going to allow it.
Wow. Oh, boy, I never thought I'd see that, ever.
That's like you could buy a partnership, put in a 401k. It has no value, but you could do it.
Why would you want to? I mean, what?
I don't know.
Diversify, isn't
saying,
that?
Well, it's going to give people opportunity to invest in different things, and they're going to let you put crypto in it.
No, are you serious?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh my word! Oh,
can you imagine?
No, I can't.
People will be dropping in the street.
Yeah, they will. I mean, my goodness.
The shock of it. Yeah. Don't bring it to their knees.
I'm about to drop in the street right now just hearing this. I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a tough deal.
Wow. I mean, I would think you would. I mean, if you're going to do these different things or invest in these different opportunities, don't you want to be diversified and have them completely separate? So if something happens with one, it doesn't drag everything else down? Or am I just thinking about this wrong?
I don't know. I think it's a scary thought.
It is a scary thought.
I mean, I wouldn't do it on a bet.
No, not in a million years.
You know, I want my stuff to be with a big company. I don't want any small deals. I don't want a crypto in there. I don't want speculation. That's what I don't want.
Yeah, yeah.
I do not want to speculate at this point in life.
Mm-mm. No, you want calculations. You want you might as well flip a coin if you're going to go the other route. And nobody, I don't think, is in a position right now to do that. It's just like I
can't imagine a smart guy putting his money in crypto in a 401k.
Me either. It's just
or a non-liquid like a partnership or. A real estate deal that has no market value.
I mean, there's just, it's...
You think you know what it's worth, but there's no market for it.
No, it's like investing in
air. It's a private sale, so there's no market. You need something in your 401k that has marketability.
Yeah, there's got to be some demand.
That you know what the value is and that the value will hold.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too much speculation.
Yeah. Gosh, I never thought I would see that or hear that ever in a million years.
Well, they think it's loosening the reins on the financial industry. It's loosening it, all right.
Oh, yeah. That's one way to put it. We'll call it loosen. Wow.
I mean, you've talked about loose investments. That's it right there.
Wow. That it's almost seems like somebody's just taken a match to a can of gas just with that.
Will be. I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah.
Because as high as the market can go, once they do some silly stuff like that, there'll be some accounts that will pancake.
Yeah,
guarantee
it. I mean, you're completely exposed. You're completely out in the wind with no backup. Yeah.
If a person is going to do something silly like that, put it in a separate account. Don't take your 401k money and buy it.
No.
Buy it with other funds that can lose.
Yeah.
That you can lose it all. Do that.
I mean,
then it won't be a big deal. If you lose it, then you walk away.
Yeah.
But if you're conservative, you shouldn't do it. Stay with conservative principles, conservative values, and conservative investments. That's what I say.
Yeah. And that's what this is all about. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And, you know, you talk about all these odd things that happen in the world of investing. You know, there's still people that look for that shiny thing and, you know, they try to swing for the fences and say, hey, this is new and exciting. I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it because, you know, I feel good. I got a lucky hunch. It's like you're betting on the horses at that point. And that's not.
It's a horse that may never come in.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, all of our investments are solid. They're not fast. They're just steady. You know, we've been doing this quite a while. We use a trustee for everything. We've taken every precaution we can. You know, the investments are in life insurance policies of people that have cancer. So we know that they're going to die. It's just a matter of when and how much we're going to make. We still have some old policies, but our newer policies are all working like they're supposed to. The LEs are solid, and we're getting paid. You know, we've had $5 million this month in maturity.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. I mean, that's
and,
a lot.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've made an average of 24%. We didn't do anything longer than, I think, 24 months on these last ones, and they've come in a little bit early, not a lot, but just a little bit. So people made their money when they should. The money's just gone in their bank account, and we will reinvest that now and do it again.
And that's how
that's what's so important, is having something that you know is solid. A life insurance company is the most solid thing I know. There's not any speculation there. You know, it's not like in the stock market, we've got a lot of speculation. Yes, a lot of it's good, but some of it's bad. And so you take all that risk out, you know, if you do it this way. If you're doing business with a life company, it's solid. It doesn't fluctuate day to day. You know, going in, how much you're going to make, you know, what you put up, you know, the face amount of the policy, and it tells you if you make 28, 30, 40%, it'll tell you up front what you're going to make. Then you sit back and wait till it matures. And when they pass away, you get paid every time.
Wow. You know, and it's like, I guess it's one of those things where it's just like, you know, there's so much foundation. It's like there's so much, I guess, history, so much data that supports that, you know, something this kind of this conservative has worked no matter what the market conditions were, no matter what weird things have happened, no matter, you know, what, you know, external variables may exist at any given moment. Those kinds of things affect most other investments, whether it's stock market, whether it's real estate, whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter. Things will go up and down. They're cyclical. That's how they work. They're based on that. And so when you have a life settlement, it is what it is. There's nothing that changes it. When a policy matures, it pays out the full amount. They've got the reserves on hand, and nothing changes. You don't have to worry about, you know, the ups and downs. You don't have to worry about, oh, my gosh, is this even going to be worth anything in 2 weeks or anything at all, which is one of the great things, I think.
Well, and I looked up, a guy had asked me this week. He said, Fay, how much have I made since I started with you? I went back and looked and added it forward. He's made $1 million.
Whoa, really?
In profit, yes, absolutely.
Wow.
$1 million.
Oh, my word. And that's
over a period of years.
From just life
from
settlements?
From the time he started until now. And he's still got policies. And he's got three or four old ones. So they may come in late, and that'll pull down some of his earnings. But so far, actual money that's went in his account is $1 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've
got other people that have got that much made too. And I've got people made a lot less. But I'm telling you, there's some people with some high earnings that have followed the plan and done it successfully.
Yeah, and I think you just hit the nail on the head. It's follow the plan and do it successfully. So the plan is the way that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but your most successful investors are in a number of policies at any given time, not one or two here or there. They're fully invested, I'm guessing 10, 15, 20, correct me if I'm wrong, at any point, and it just keeps, you know, turning over. Profit, reinvest.
That's right.
Profit, reinvest.
When you have a lot of profit and a lot of policies, it's just over and over again what you're going to make. And wow. The policies are coming due. We're putting the money in the bank. All you have to do is look at your account after all these happen, and you can see the money, you know. It takes about 2 days each time to get the money into your account from Nevada Trust. They do all the bookkeeping on that. When somebody dies, we send the death certificate in, and the check is made out to Nevada Trust. It's not made out to us. And then we tell them which account it goes in. And they put it in the account, and we start over.
Do you ever find, and this just kind of crossed my mind, I've never asked this before, but when you're laying out, you know, when you went back and did the research on this one, and then obviously there are others as well that fall in the same category of making $1 million, do you ever find that people maybe get really too hyper-focused on one policy in particular, or maybe
no,
two?
No, I don't. I think what they do is if they go over, they're calling me. And sometimes they're not over, but they're already anxious, especially if they're new with us. They'll be calling and say, well, Faye, I haven't heard on this policy. And I'll go look it up. I'll say, it's not due yet. You know, it's a 28-month. It's not been long enough. So, you know, a lot of times I'll do that.
Because I'm just wondering, you know, when you were describing this one investor here, I'm thinking, okay, you know, if you were to go, you know, month by month or year by year, I'm sure it's probably easy to get lost in, oh, this policy did this and this policy did that. But then after a number of years, you step back and you look at the whole big picture in that $1 million. Yeah, I'm sure that there was probably a couple of policies that went over, probably some that came in on time and probably some that came in early. But that's how the plan works. There's going to be some of each of those. And so you step back, you get well diversified, you be in as many policies as you can. And then that, when over time, when you step back and look at the big picture, those ones that go over, you don't, it's not like, oh my gosh, you know, I've lost all this money. That's not the case at all. You're still making money in a conservative way. And so, I mean, I think the proof is in the pudding right there. The numbers say it all. And so
yeah, and you just have to look and see what all you've made,
yeah,
how many you've still got, what you're going to make. And remember, if you have paid some premium, it is deductible.
Mm.
So you can take a loss on that and show an expense. And then when it comes due and you make your profit, you take that off.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I didn't take that into consideration. Yeah. Interesting.
Oh, I did, because you know, it's an expense for you, so you can write that off and still make a profit.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Okay, so that's one avenue for conservative investments is the life settlements. The other thing that people love, which are, and I hate to always call these boring, because you know, I mean, but they are what they are.
They are. They're cut and dried. Yeah. Annuities are the greatest thing we ever did, because they're getting better all the time. I mean, better and better and better. Lots of companies send me information on their annuities. Say, Faye, would you represent us? Would you do business with us? And I look to see what they're offering. And the offerings are getting better and better. But I still like the 14% bonus. I love that. Still got it in there. That first year, you get that 14% plus whatever you've made.
Wow.
You know, it's a solid deal. Annuities, as I said, they've averaged around 10% the last 10 years. It's locked in once a year. When the interest, at the end of the year, they lock it in, whatever it is. And so it doesn't go anywhere and it doesn't go down. Annuities only go up. They never go down.
Hmm.
So if you're in the stock market and you want to compare it to your annuity, and annuity set still, your stock went down, you lost over there, and you gained over here.
Can we call an annuity one of the investments that is basically a set it and forget it? Because you don't have to
do
much?
Yes, it is. Because whatever it's going to make, it's going to make it without your help. And the end of the year, they just tell you how much it made and show you a statement every year.
That's pretty simple. I mean,
it is very simple. I've had people that have been with me since 2003.
Oh, wow. Really?
And some of them are dying off now. I mean, they're getting old. That happens sometimes. But they've had a lot of years. It saw them through a lot of things, and it gave them that income monthly or annually that they needed. Now, when people buy an annuity, they're looking for income and sometimes for the profit. It depends what age they are. But most people say, Faye, I'm retiring tomorrow. I need to set this up for every year I have this much income. So we set it up for whatever they say. They can change it at any time. If they're going to take it annually and they decide to take it monthly, or they don't want to take as much. I have that happen a lot. They may start out taking $75,000, $80,000. Then they say it's too much. They don't need that much. So they need it back in there making interest. So we'll fix it.
Yeah. I would imagine probably the more you can leave in, the more money you're going to make because it's
making
money.
That's exactly right. It's like everything else. The more you keep on deposit, the more interest you're going to get back.
Hmm. So I guess to kind of go full circle, because at the beginning we were talking about, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, when you're, you know, just starting out in life, that you're set up to be wealthy and you're set up to have a good future, not only a future as an adult, but, you know, retirement and then post-retirement. Is there any age, and I know that most young people may not be in a place to even think about this, but their parents could have that discussion with them or start something for them. Is there any age that's too young to start investing?
We've done several, the grandparents have, where they set up for their grandchildren when they were in high school.
Mm.
They gave so much for each child. We put it in annuities with a specification that when they start to college, they can draw so much a year.
Oh, wow, that's
genius.
And
it lasted all through their college, and they had money left. Because one of them didn't do as well as the others.
Hmm.
So they, you know, they kind of dropped out there out of college. The others didn't. They finished. But there's all kinds of things you can do. You can use, if you have a trust, you can put the annuity in a trust. You can put it jointly. You can do an IRA. You can do a SEP IRA, a Roth. There's so many ways you can do this.
So
it's very versatile. You're not taxed till you take it out. It's compound interest, so there's not anything bad about this. Everything is positive.
So you really don't have to do anything. It's almost like, and I'm going to kind of do a Y or a fork in the road kind of a comparison here, but between putting money in the bank, you could put it in the bank and just let it sit there and earn, what are banks, like 4% now, 3%, 4%?
No, banks don't pay that much.
Too much? Too
some,
one,
if it's a checking account, some of them pay nothing.
Ah!
Nada. Nada.
So you got nothing. So if it's sitting in the bank, it's doing nothing. If it sits in the annuity, it's making what on average? 10%?
It's going to average that. Maybe some months it's 2%, 4%, 6%, you know, whatever. But at the end of the year, it will have averaged 10%.
So if you don't want to be involved and actively like doing things, and you're going to let your money sit someplace, it's way better, way more profitable to let it sit in an annuity. Did I say that right? Is that correct?
Okay. Well, and if you put it in an annuity and just leave it, it'll make the interest for you all those years.
Yeah.
You know, I've got two or three people that I know of that I've kept up with that have never run out of money in their annuity. It's paid their way. It's paid them 10% a year, which is fine. And the interest has kept going, and they have not run out of interest.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, if you never run out of interest. I mean, and then the other thing, I think I was thinking of, when I said the 4%, was I thinking of Nevada Trust? Is that what I was thinking of?
Yes, you were.
Okay.
Nevada Trust, if you have money on deposit, it's almost 4%.
Okay.
Last year, it was 4%. So they have you in a money market account at all times. You're always getting paid. It's not like a bank where they say, no, it's just a checking account. We're not paying you.
Wow.
You have to have a special deal to get paid on that. But not at Nevada Trust. They pay almost 4% every day.
You know, I'm.
That's why there's so much money at Nevada Trust. We have $23 million on deposit at Nevada Trust.
Oh, my word. Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
That's how much the clients have got.
Good Lord. So is
now,
I.
Now, let me tell you what the profit is on the 97, 90, it's, I think, $90 million now of money that's in policies, what the profit will be. If all of them came due tomorrow, it'd be $21 million.
No. Are you serious?
$21 million.
Wow. I mean, that is insane.
It tells you how much policies we've got and all the money that's going to come out of them.
Wow. And that's what's active right now.
That's active right now, not tomorrow.
Wow. I should have been more prepared for that because I'm about to fall over. Goodness
gracious.
Yeah,
clients have got $23 million on deposit.
Oh, my word.
And they're getting almost 4% for that.
Yeah.
And then the policies, you add up all the policies that we're holding for them that they're involved in.
Wow.
And it's about $90 million, a little more.
Oh, my
and
word.
And if we liquidated that tomorrow, that would be $21 million.
Golly. You know, I just, you say numbers like that, and I'm floored. I mean, we get so hyper-focused sometimes on, you know, the investment and then, you know, reinvest. And then, we talk about all these things on such we take it in little chunks, in little bites that are digestible.
Right.
But boy, you take a look, you go back and you look at the whole forest as a whole.
That's right. Look at the big picture. What's going to pay out? You know, that's what's important. How much are you going to get when everything is said and done?
Wow. I can't imagine anybody who wouldn't want in on that, especially knowing that if the stock market was to crash first thing Monday morning, anything that's in a life settlement is fine. It's not going to be affected at all.
Because it's in insurance policies.
Wow.
I'd rather have insurance policies every day of the week than be in the dadgum stock market with the risk factor. I know right now it's soaring, but look how many times it's failed.
Yeah.
It's come down, and people have lost a lot.
And we all know whatever goes up must come down. So, I mean.
How many times can you start over?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of, it seems like what's happening now is almost like that perfect little brew that happened before 2008, before the big thing happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call it, but before that. And it's just like, you know, everybody was just like riding high and it's like, yeah, let's go. And then boom, and the bottom fell out. Nobody was ready for it. And I remember it took years for some people to start over. So
that's right. And I talked to some of them.
Yeah.
And one family had to go back to work.
Oh,
it's the only one I know of personally. They were from Odessa, and they had to go back to work.
Oh, man.
Lost so much. Then I had the lady accountant. She lost $300,000 in 08. She and I, neither one will ever forget it.
Oh, my word. That's just,
you know, when you tell the broker to sell, and he's smarter than you are and doesn't sell, it's going to cost you a fortune.
And they are all smarter.
That's right. They thought they were smarter than all of us.
Yeah, they did. So, yeah. So if you want to protect yourself, you know, and not have to get up in the morning or in the middle of the night and wonder if you have anything left in your portfolio, conservative is the way to go. And you've got both options that are, you know, both thriving annuities, life settlements. And all people have to do is call and get started. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. And your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Well, I love my trivia today.
Right.
It's the story of John Erickson. You may never have heard of him.
No.
He's born in Midland, Texas.
Oh.
And as a young boy, he went to school there, but then he moved to Perryton. You know, that's in the very north part of Texas, almost the Oklahoma line. And he was a cowboy. He was a rancher. He was a ranch manager, Texas, Oklahoma. But he went to college. He went to the University of Denver. He graduated from the University of Texas. Then he went to Harvard, to Divinity School.
Really?
He didn't quite finish.
Hmm.
And he was just, you know, doing different things. He wanted to become a writer. He was publishing some short stories in 1967, and he was still working as a cowboy and a ranch manager. So in 1982, he had been rejected by everybody in the world. Nobody would buy his books. He borrowed $2,000 and started Maverick Books. Hmm. And the first book he did was Hank the Cow Dog. You remember that?
I do. Oh, wow.
Okay. And came out in Cattleman's Magazine, of all places. That tells you how bad a shape he was in.
Yeah.
So they did two short stories. The one was Devil in Texas. Then he started selling his books out of his pickup. Wherever there was a cowboy, he'd take his books and sell them. And then he started receiving letters addressed to Hank the Cow Dog. So the next year, in 1983, he published the first full-length book in the series, The Adventures of Hank the Cow Dog. He printed 2,000 books. He ran out in 6 weeks.
Really? Oh, wow.
And he knew then he had a success. And so then he put it on audio tape. Hank the Cow Dog has been the longest-running successful children's series on audio.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
He has done 80 sequels.
Really?
It's one of the most popular children's fiction series. It has sold 7.5 million books.
Oh, my word.
He's won all kinds of awards. It's in school libraries. He's endorsed by the Texas Library Association. He's written 70 books now.
Seriously, 70?
70 books.
Wow.
And he's appeared at all these places, singing songs and everything. Now, he lives still in Perryton, Texas.
Does he really?
He really does. I mean, this is shocking.
Wow. Of course, now I think after all the pieces that he's written and all the subject matter he's written about, I would probably be shocked if he didn't still live in Texas. So I mean, I guess it makes sense when you think about it. But
he's a typical Texan.
Yeah.
And Hank and Drover are both dogs he'd worked with at the ranch.
So they're based on.
So he wrote about something he really knew about. He knew about dogs, and so he started writing. And I remember the first time I heard, you know, Hank the Cowboy and Hank the Cow Dog, you know? And I had no idea it was from Texas and that it was right up here.
I know. I didn't know that it was based on an actual, like, dog that he knew.
Yeah, actual dogs.
Yeah. Wow. It gives it a whole new spin now. It's just like, well, geez, it's not just
a
made up.
Yeah, I mean, he knew the dogs.
Yeah.
And he obviously talked to them every day. And so then he decided, you know, why not write a book about dogs that he knew something about?
Wow. You know, and that makes all the difference. You know, I've seen people and I've seen classes about writing. And they always say that if you're going to write about, say, a place, you have to go to that place so that you can describe things. You can describe, you know, the architecture, the doors, the people, the, you know, the accent of the people. You know, you have to actually be there to actually describe it accurately. And to know that, you know, he's obviously lived his subject matters. He's worked with dogs, and so he knows, you know, how they are. And so I guess that's what makes it all so, I guess, lifelike or believable.
Well, what I'm shocked about, you know, he was a cowboy, a ranch hand. You know, he was an outdoorsman. And yet he went to the University of Texas. Then went on to Harvard, to Divinity School.
I
mean, I can't believe it.
I wouldn't put those two together ever.
I would never put that together. And he liked a couple semesters having his divinity degree.
Wow.
I mean, I'm shocked. But then he came back and wrote his first story and couldn't sell it, was just having a terrible time. And he borrowed that $2,000 and started Maverick, publishing and did just a little print, and people just went crazy about it. They began buying it for their kids. And I remember the first time I bought one.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things, you know, you kind of, it's one of those firsts that you remember in your life. And
yeah. And I love dogs anyway, so, you know, buying a dog story for the kids was just a natural.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's just so, it's something that I think a lot of people can relate to because, well, I mean, you know, we all, you know, or most people anyway, either have or love dogs. And so, I don't know, it's just, it's such a great, and the fact that he sold out in, what, 6 weeks?
Yes.
I think, I'm just, it's like, yeah, okay,
it
there's
took
a sign.
6 weeks, you know, to sell out. And, you know, before that, he was taking them in the back of his pickup, you know, and just selling a little bit at a time. And then, you know, when people went for it, they went for it big.
Yeah.
And then he wrote 80 sequels to it.
Wow. I did not know there were 80 sequels. I had no idea.
And he sold 7.5 million copies.
Jeez.
I mean, you talk about popular.
Yeah, yeah. And especially when you consider the humble beginnings, you know, going like putting him in the back of his truck and just driving around. I mean,
my
word.
And I love the pictures in the books.
Oh, yeah.
The dogs.
Yes.
The pictures were great.
Yes. I mean, pictures are what gives it personality and brings it to life.
The personality of Hank, yeah, the dog. And I was just shocked to find out he was right here in Texas, grew up in Texas, Yes, he's from Midland. Then he moved to Perryton in high school and finished there.
Wow. That's just...
So a lot of people may have known John Erickson.
Yeah, they may have. And those that don't, you know, obviously we all know the book, we all know the stories, but maybe the name not so much. And so I don't know. I think just kind of...
Yeah, the name might not be familiar, but Hank the dog was.
Yes.
So they'll remember the dog story.
And I think it's hilarious that they started getting letters addressed to
Oh, yeah, Hank was getting letters, and that's what did it.
Yeah.
They started writing letters to the dog.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and remember, it came out first in Cattleman Magazine.
Yeah, I know it.
That is so hilarious. I mean, it didn't come out in some swank book or magazine. It came out in Cattleman's Magazine.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
It is.
And, of course, he was selling them out of the back of his pickup.
And then ends up, you know, it's like one of those wildfires that just like explodes. It's like all of a sudden this overnight thing just like takes off like wildfire. And that was back before we had like terms like gone viral. But this was like the pre-computer viral gone viral.
That's right. This is the pre-computer when people just looked at something and had to read it there and take it home.
Yes. Yeah. And then it moved on to audio books. And I can't believe it's the longest running, what'd you say, the longest running children's book?
There is in the United States.
That's just
the longest running.
That is fantastic. I mean, I just love stories like that. That is so cool.
You know, 7.5 million books.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
It's nothing to sneeze at. My word. And to have so many sequels, and I don't know. I have a whole new appreciation for the whole thing now.
And the Dallas Morning News carried it as a serial. and then Hank the Cowboy was translated into Persian, Spanish, Danish, and Chinese.
Oh, my word, really?
Yeah, they put it in all these other languages. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Not just American.
Oh, my word. You wouldn't necessarily think, you know, those kinds of stories would translate well, but...
No, I wouldn't think you could translate it to Persian and Chinese and all that, and it sound the same.
Yeah, yeah. You would think it would lose a little something in translation, but I don't know, maybe not, but... I mean, my word, for them to have that much faith in it and to believe that it could transfer over and to go ahead and do it is pretty cool. I mean, that says a lot. So
I know. And, you know, when he was writing all these books, I loved it. He wrote one, Ranch Life Series, book one, Ranching and Livestock.
Yeah.
Can you believe he did that? Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. We should probably do, and we don't, do we have a, is there like a, some kind of a monument or something?
To Hank the Dog, there probably is. We just don't know where it's at.
Yeah. Well, if not, there should be. I mean, my word, he ought to have something. I mean, he's from Midland, so you would think that there'd be some kind of something to just, you know, not honor, but I don't know, honor, I guess, for lack of a better term.
And, you know, he wrote a lot of Westerns.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
It is. It's just, you know, and but when, you know, when you live the life and you're a part of it.
You write about what you really know.
You
yeah.
do. And it becomes so, it takes a good story to a great story. And it makes it much more realistic and lifelike and relatable and, you know, it's just, I guess it lends authenticity, which is what is so important for a great writer. So, wow, that's really cool. I didn't know all that. So, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Yeah, I wonder if they could come up with merchandise. You know, like Hank the Cow Dog.
Well, I don't know. He wrote an awful lot of books about it.
I know. You'd think they'd have, like, I don't know, some kind of merch or something. Probably make another $20 million.
That's right. If he'd had the right manager, they'd have made another $20 million.
Yeah, yeah. Clearly, he didn't have the right person, so.
But to think he lives in Perryton, Texas.
I know it. It's like, of all
end
places.
End of the world.
It's like, wow. How do you even find your way there? That's not a pass-through.
It's hard. It's so far up there.
Yeah. That's
it gets so cold.
I know it.
Wow.
Good Lord. You talk about a destination. That's not just someplace he was driving and pulled over and said,
no.
Hey,
no, it wasn't
neat.
Just a destination.
Wow.
I mean, you had to want to go to Perryton, Texas.
Oh, yeah. You got to want to go.
And, you know, several years ago, I think it was in 2016 or 17, they had a really bad fire up there.
Ooh.
And he wrote about that.
Did he? Oh,
he
I
wrote
forgot.
About the fire.
I didn't remember that. Oh, my.
Yeah. And I understand that he lost his house
oh, no.
in that fire, and he wrote about all of it.
Oh, geez. That's got to be hard to do, you know, write about your
you
own
to write
tragedy.
About something like that.
Boy, talk about being vulnerable and exposing. I guess in songwriting they call it opening a vein. But, boy, I can imagine, wow, that just, I don't know, it takes an. Again, it's the authenticity of it, the whole thing. So, I mean, it's real.
That's right.
So, all right, before we wrap, with life settlements, you know, we've talked about all the great things that are involved with a life settlement, and we've talked about all the money that people have made. And these are not just like theoretical numbers. These aren't just, well, if and maybe and somewhat and we think kind of.
No, we go back and look at one of the clients, and we add up their policies, what it costs them, what the face amount was and what their difference is.
Yeah. And you say that's not the only one. It's not just one
oh,
guy
no,
that
I
was lucky.
Oh, no, I could add up several.
Yeah.
And give you those figures.
Yeah. So, I mean, to make that kind of money is phenomenal. It does come with risks, but they're not anything like what you would find like in the stock market. So what would you say is the first risk with the life settlement?
The biggest risk is if it goes over, you have premiums to pay. And we've got those down to really low now.
Yeah,
they're not as high as they used to be. So that takes a lot of the risk out. So that's your biggest risk. You have to know that you would have to pay premiums if it went over. But we escrow, and we hardly ever mention that. We escrow not only the length of the policy, but an extra 12 months on every policy we do.
Hmm. And that's good to know, too, because, I mean, when people are planning for this.
Yeah, you've got a real long escrow there.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that. What's the second risk?
The second risk is it's not liquid till it matures.
All right.
So always remember that. You can't just say, today I need some of my profit, I'll take it today. No.
No.
You take it when it matures and the money goes in your account.
Okay.
The other thing is you must be accredited.
Mm.
You must either make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your home.
All right. Any of the same things apply towards
no,
an annuity?
It's much easier.
Okay. Not really a lot of risks you can think of. Not really. No. It's just set it and forget it and just wait to get paid.
Remember, the companies we use are billion.
Yeah.
Like 60 billion.
Good Lord. Wow. It's just the foundation and the historical.
You know, we use such big companies.
Yeah.
And the other thing is when we buy life settlements, we look at the company that carries the paper. We always look at that.
Yeah, so important. You know, it's just
it
like
is.
You don't want to deal with a guy who just started yesterday in his garage.
That's right. That's right. We don't want to, like, you know, they start computers in their garage, but that won't work that way.
No. This won't work that way. No. All right, so for people that either want more information or want to get started or just want to kind of explore it a little bit more on a personal one-on-one basis, they do need to call and make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.